Friday morning out there in Radio Land, June 3rd, and goodness sake, summer is upon us, is it not? Adam here, co-hosting and boarding, if that's a word, doing the board, we'll just make a word up because that's fun to do.
That's good.
I'm a year older since I last sat at this microphone, so I guess it gives me that right.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you, Pastor Steve, and, you know, just like yourself, I don't get older, I get better, which means that at this point I must really be good. And speaking of good, we have Pastor Steve Whitaker here with great information, inspiration, an excellent way to start your weekend. We call the show The Pastor Spot. It airs today and every Friday morning between about 9:15 a.m. Eastern Time and 10. And previous episodes are available on our archives at WWGH1071.com. Co-host Mr. Frank Robinson is also at a microphone. And how are you guys doing on this fine, summery, early June morning?
We're doing fantastic. Good morning, Adam. I've had a pretty good week, I think Frank has.
Oh, yeah.
Other than a few things. We have things thrown at us every now and then. It's an odd how we handle what's thrown at us, right?
That's right.
It's good to be here this morning. Again, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker, your host, and along here with Frank. And we are from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. I never really tell people what Frank's real role is there. Of course, I'm the pastor, senior pastor there. Frank is a pastor. He does senior ministries. He does some teaching on Wednesdays and sometimes Sunday morning. He alternates with another fellow. But he does senior ministries, and he does... And of course, he also does veterans ministries also. Good to be here this morning. Today, I want to talk a little bit about some things that are kind of dear on my heart. There's been a lot going on in the news. I did a live feed last week, and it wasn't on the one that was on the radio. So I'm going to do that again in a form of that. Sorry about the backdrops here today. It looks like we need a looks like we got a partial green screen and some other things back there.
Yeah.
But anyway, for those of you that are watching live, I'd like to give you a chance today if you'd like to call in add into the discussion. We keep it simple and peaceful here. But the phone number here is 740-339-9944. But we as the church, our church is at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and our phone number is 740-494-2222. You can reach us at prospectccf.com, and of course we are also on Facebook as Community Christian Fellowship. I'd like to fill you in with a few things going on today. Today we have coffee till... I think coffee's going to end in about 10 minutes at the church, which we do every Friday morning. We have free coffee and pastries and conversation in front of the church. And that's right there at the corner of East and Water Street in Prospect. And, of course, yesterday we kicked off for the summer. We have a Bible story time and reading program for kids on Thursdays.
Wasn't that amazing how many
that
kids?
We had kids from all over town. Met some people that I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
and that brought their kids. And I think we had crafts and a Bible story time, and they planted pumpkin seeds in little cups and took them home, and the kids just had a great time.
Oh, they certainly did.
What a blessing that was. It's going to be a busy summer starting on the 7th. We do our summer lunch program in Prospect at the church where kids get a lunch every day.
And elders.
If you're over 60, come and eat too. But anyway, it's great to be here today. I've got a few things to talk about. I want to encourage you with some things and maybe shed some common sense light on a few things also. One of the problems that I'm seeing today, I'm seeing a societal problem, and it's a problem that we have when we reject God. In Romans chapter 1, about what happens when we turn our back on God. You know, people make a conscious decision whether they're going to pay attention to God, follow God, or not. And you might say, well, what if they've never heard of God? You know, the Scripture makes it very clear. The Bible is so self-evident, or God is so self-evident, excuse me, in everything around us, and how we can look at things in nature and around us and not realize there's something far greater. There is a God. There is a master creator. We have to do that. We make a decision whether we are going to investigate that, whether we want to know the truth, or whether we're just going to go with the status quo and ignore it.
Yes.
And God calls that ignoring Him by hardening our heart to Him. Myself, personally, when I see the wonders of this world and everything is made and how it's made and the intricacies of it, I could not help but wonder, wow, how did this could not have come to be? In this massive universe we're in, we're the only place that has life form.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God says so. And said that long before anybody knew anything about, the solar system, before science knew about any. Science wasn't even something that was a an art form, I guess.
Really, the original science was theology.
Exactly. But I guess art form is the wrong word. Science wasn't even something that we ever considered, mm-hmm. as far as the way we do now. When everything we, of course, we had a lot of philosophers, mm-hmm. and people that looked at things of that nature, and always have had that. But well, it's just amazing, huh?
For so many years, the science was put down by the Roman Church.
Yes, it was.
And so many ended up in prison or beheaded or burned at stake.
Well, because they went against the status quo.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of things were decided out of ignorance and not understanding.
Yes.
But unfortunately, today the narrative is, from the scientific community for the most part, is that because that Christians today hold that same attitude,
mm-hmm.
that we look at things in a in light of something old-fashioned or something silly or mystical or uneducated,
mm-hmm.
which is the furthest thing from the truth. If you want to sit down and look at the truth of what's going on in our world and around us, it takes a lot more faith to believe in evolution than it ever does to believe in creation.
That it does.
And knowing that we have a master creator. But when you're only shown one narrative, first of all, that's not science. Science always compares, always evaluates. And they don't allow comparing and evaluating anymore in the schools, because when you set that narrative, that's where you got to go. I was talking with a group of kids last night in Pizza with Pastor, and a group of high school kids. These are just generic kids from a couple of different school districts that we meet. All teenagers are welcome. We meet twice a month, and they just talk about, we talk about whatever they want to talk about, or whatever, if they don't have anything, whatever I have on a plate. And we were talking about, I was putting some common sense scenarios out there of things going on in our world that are causing our social ills,
yeah.
a lot of them, and they're scratching their head and they're thinking, yeah, you know, that makes perfect sense. And I said, well, then let me ask you a question. I said, why is it that people in Washington, I said, you guys, you know, you even graduated high school yet, but you can see this clear as a bell. I said, why is it that people that have master's degrees and doctorates and have been lawyers and are adults and they're in politics cannot see it? It's because exactly what we're told in Romans.
Mm-hmm.
We harden our heart to God and we start to chase anything but.
Yes.
And we're our hearts are blinded. Eventually God says enough's enough, and he turns us over to our own thoughts, our own vile thoughts, or whatever they are, and that's what happens. I mean, God offers us a way out of everything. Actually, he offers us a way into, and that's into a relationship with him. And to believe what he says and what he's done, to believe that his son Jesus Christ paid for the sin of the world, and we just need to accept that and follow him. And it's funny because, you know, things become so evident The evidences of God are just all around us. But I was talking to these kids, and I said, kids, what's going on here? I said, we've given ourselves over to what is called a progressive mindset, a progressive world. And I can't help but say that it's regressive, because we didn't have teen suicide rates when I was in school. We didn't have statistics on gun violence. We didn't have statistics of young people. We didn't have schools being shot up. We didn't have any of these things. We didn't have the massive amount of drug use that we have today. Why is that? Well, we have to look at where our society has gone.
Sure.
We've taken hope out of the equation, Frank.
Yes, we have.
And God is our hope, and He's our refuge. And when you take that out, this is what you end up with. When it's all about me, see, the problem with everything being about me and me being totally responsible for everything, in other words, I'm the end-all, be-all. I become Steve the God.
Sure. When you're Steve, self-aware.
When Steve fails, there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
And when these young people, many times, when they fail, when they don't see any hope down the road, they figure, what's the point? And then they start blaming. You start the blame game. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. Before you know it, the anger builds up, and things build. Negativity always builds if left unchecked. It never goes the other way into happiness.
That's
you understand
right.
what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So what are some things we don't have? We don't have the guidance at home that we used to have. Everyone's so, so busy. We've got both parents working.
Mm-hmm.
We have kids that are left to be babysat by either a babysitter who's just as busy, a television, their phone, or whatever it may be. That's where they're getting everything from.
Sure.
I don't see hope in those areas.
No.
So there's one area.
Another area is instead of front porches, we have back decks. So you don't get to know the people in the neighborhood.
That's a good point, Frank. Instead of front porches, we have back decks. And that's very true.
That kind of breaks the community of the neighborhood.
It really does. It truly does. How about this one? We don't have God in the school.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't have, there's some things that had been taught for generations and generations in this country. And they were, one, that we were one nation under God, that God was our defender, our faith was in God, God protected our nation, He loved our nation. And this is something that isn't anything new or people tried to interject into this country. It was founded on that. Whether you want to argue that or not, it's not even an argument. I mean, the evidence there is so clear. it was Patrick Henry that said that this country was not founded by religionists. This country was founded by Christians who had faith in Jesus Christ. And Patrick Henry was there, man.
Yes, he was.
He was right in the middle of it. But, you know, at the same time, sure, there were people there that had bad ideas and wrong things. You know, one thing people have a hard time reconciling is, how could this country have been founded by solid Christian men and women, in which it was very many influential women then, if they still had slavery, which was an evil? And the truth of the matter is, what people fail to understand is that throughout history, from the beginning of our recorded history, slavery was a common practice. Does it make it right? No, I'm not saying it does. I'm saying it was a common practice. And we get used to whatever common practices are. For instance, in our country, there's a lot of negative things going on socially right now, but they've become common practice, therefore are becoming acceptable, like the killing of our unborn. The killing of our unborn. These wise people that we have in politics, you know, we had an entire party vote for a bill that wanted to make it legal to kill babies all the way up until the day they were born. I mean, for crying out loud.
Yes.
I mean, so understand, there's still evil men out there. But the point being that many of our founding fathers, the majority of them, did not want slavery. Did not like slavery. It had become a practice and a way of life. And I'm pretty proud of the United States of America that in less than 100 years, they got rid of slavery.
Yes.
And the lives that died. You know, we had a Memorial Day celebration at the park in Prospect, and the commander of the American Legion spoke, and he talked about the very first Memorial Day. And the very first Memorial Day that Memorial Day was patterned after was 2 years after the Civil War, and it was put together by hundreds and hundreds of freed slaves that went out and buried Union soldiers that were left in the battlefield.
Yeah.
2 years after, mm-hmm. there were still bodies that needed buried. And in their appreciation for those that gave their life, they went out and buried them. How do you like that one, folks?
Yeah.
There was an appreciation back then. It wasn't being politicized the way it has been. And, you know, I look at our cultures and I look at what... I think that equality is something that God gave all of us. He created all of us equal, every one of us equal. We are all just as precious in God's sight. When men do things in their own eyes, that's when things fall apart. That's when we start making excuses. And even in Romans, it talks about how we begin to make excuses for the things that we do wrong when we turn back on God. Mm-hmm. One of the things we make excuses for is putting other people into slavery. And when people start taking, abandoning the Word of God and doing things on their own, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But the thing is, we got rid of slavery in this country. Now, were there places where things still weren't fair? You better believe there were.
Oh, it certainly was.
And I think you guys need to take a long, hard look who was really doing that, and who was really behind the Klan, and who was really behind, you know, all these things that went on, as far as keeping the black people down. I mean, if you really look into the truth of it, it's going to open your eyes. But the truth of the matter is that there was nothing wrong. Even, I don't want to say that ever needed to be segregated, but there was something really neat and wonderful about black culture, just as there was German culture and Italian culture and Polish culture and Irish culture. This country was a great melting pot. And somewhere along the line, we started thinking socially that everyone needed to be the same. And we're not the same. We are different. Mm-hmm. We're the same in God's eyes. Our value is the same. We should be treated the same. We should get equal wages for equal jobs. We should have equal opportunities. All those things, absolutely. But we need to celebrate sometimes. We need to celebrate the fact that there's nothing wrong with your heritage, for crying out loud.
Not at all. You know, that's one thing that's fallen away from the wayside is family reunions. That's where you got your history of your family. The struggles the family
absolutely.
Had.
Absolutely. And
how God entered in to pull people out of their struggles and break their chains and set them free.
That is part of this modern mentality of everybody being the same. There's a great pride in individualism and in being different in different ways and where we come from. You know, God, you were born where God intended you to be born. Celebrate it. For whatever reason, and in whatever way, I think it's really sad that we've tried to just make everybody this homogenized bunch of drones, and I hate to put it that way, but that's what
we're turning out of the schools.
I've been teaching or helping some of our kids in Peace with Pastor learn cursive, mm-hmm. and part of the reason for that is they're not taught it anymore. I mean, we have kids graduate from high school that if they're lucky, they can write their name mm-hmm. to sign something. And you know, you can have all the conspiracy theories in the world as to why they've done this because, you know, people have all kinds of reasons. But the truth is that there's something individual about handwriting that's yours. When you write people letters, there's something very personal and individual about it.
Yes.
It can even be something romantic mm-hmm. In between two people. When we go to block print on everybody, everybody's the same. It takes, once again, takes more of our individualism away. We have young people today that are confused and have no clue who they are. They don't have a God to identify them. They have a God. They just don't see him and they don't know him. They know there's something out there, but they don't know what. Everybody, it's amazing how everybody says, you know, I have to have a purpose. There has to be a reason for me. And when there's no reason for me, I give up. I'm done. Why is there a reason for you? If we are all just evolved single-celled organisms, then we're the same as everything else, and there's no reason or purpose for our birth. We've just evolved into a creature. Well, why is it that we all have this inner desire to have a purpose? Because God put that inner desire in you to have that purpose that he gave you. And you're to seek it out through him and through his word. And you'll know it, and you'll be happy in who you are in your individualism. And they've robbed these young people of this. It's hopelessness. That's what we're seeing in culture today. No hope. Why not do drugs? Why not just, let's just party and let my brain be numb, and if I die when I'm 35 or 40, so be it. But you know what? I need to feel good, and nothing about this world's making me feel good. I've had a bad, I haven't got the breaks other people have. My parents didn't love me. You know, the list goes on and on.
Well, you see, that built character.
What?
Not getting breaks. That built.
But see, that's what we're taught today. We're taught today we didn't get breaks and we should feel bad for ourselves because it's someone else's fault. Not that it should build character. And it should build character. You're right.
Absolutely should.
You know, it was I had challenges to overcome as a young person, losing a father, not having things that other people had, and other issues on the table, which there were many. but the point is that we all have challenges, but when we have hope and we know that God's out there, and that God has a plan for our life, things aren't going to get so desperate that we give up. There may be getting a situation we don't understand. You know, the arguments that people have about God and Christianity is, if God's out there, if there's really God, why do I have to go through this? Why didn't he love me enough that everything's easy? Because, folks, quite frankly, he did not make robots.
No, he didn't.
He made people of free choice, and that means people have a choice to do good and people have a choice to do evil. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes you are the focus of that evil. You have a broken body. You have your body that falls apart. Things don't work. Most things that are negative that we find in our life, not all things, but most things, can be traced back to something wrong somewhere that shouldn't have happened. Whether it's greed, whether it's selfishness, whether it's whatever it may be. And we're all born with these things. You know, the Bible always teaches too that we're born with original sin. You know, people don't talk about, you know, oh, sin, there's no sin out there. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, you know, do what you feel good. You know, don't let sin guilt you into something. What's knowing their sin does to me says, you know what, there's a reason I have these thoughts. There's a reason that I do this, because I am born with that original sin. I need to reject it, and I need to understand that's why Christ came to pay for it, and he did, and I need to thank him for that and lay that at his feet and go on and not live in guilt because of it. Now, I don't continue in it. You know, it's something, it may be something I fight against my whole life, but in that fight, it draws me back to him because he's where I draw my strength.
That's right.
People say, well, I was born that way. I have the excuse that, what can I do about it? I was born that way. That is one of the worst arguments I've ever heard in my life.
We all have tendencies.
We all have proclivities towards different
sin.
That's
right.
We're born that way. I may be born. Do you ever know a kid that's born and some reason from the time they were little, they just like to take things that weren't theirs?
Mm-hmm.
You ever know that? Or some kids, man, that kid, they just lie so much, they can't tell the truth. Or, you know, that one over there does this or that. Or, you know, those are those things that are natural tendencies of sin that are born into our lives. And it doesn't mean we embrace them. It means that we recognize them. And what do we talk about building character? Building character is learning to step away from what is wrong and do what is right. And we pick and choose what is okay to be born with. Now think about that. If I told you, which I'm not, but if someone told you, hey, you know, all my life, I really have had a desire for little children, sexually. But I was born that way, so you got to give me a pass on it. We'd say, oh, no, you don't, mm-hmm. right? But it may be something else that we say we're born with. Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Why is what, you know, if your argument is I was born that way and it's not my fault, then it has to hold water in all those other areas.
Sure.
I think that, excuse me, folks,
when we get
it's
away
an allergy
from,
time of year, and I don't know what's in the air this morning, but it's tickling my throat to pieces.
Adam's outside cutting the grass.
Oh, he's cutting weeds out there.
Cutting out the weeds.
Thanks, Adam. But anyway, we have to understand that the Bible tells us that we're surrounded by original sin. We're surrounded by, you know, that stuff is there. It's going to be there. It doesn't mean that we embrace it. It means that we follow what God's word says and what God says. And we embrace that. And we turn from our evil ways. Notice the Bible talks about our evil ways. They're ours. Own them.
Oh, absolutely.
Own them and hate them. That's what right. I mean. Own them and give them away. To give them at the foot of the... Let God worry about and take care of those things. But we have to constantly turn from it. You know, if somebody... Why is it that if somebody... And I hate to keep using a pedophile, but it's just such an easy argument. Why is it if somebody's a pedophile, they want to put them in counseling to try to divert their mind from that and somehow let them live a normal life? But if it's another sexual sin... That, you can't counsel them. They were born that way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? No, society has decided they want to be that way. Uh-huh. And it goes right back to what Romans said about the hardening of the heart and how God gives people over to a debased mind. And the same passage in Romans says, thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools. Uh-huh. But we are not going to rescue this country until we get back to the basics of Scripture. We love life. Why is it that as a Christian I can be called a hater when I love everything to do with true life and healthy living other than cherry pies and ice cream?
Well, because you call attention to a person's conscience.
I think so. You know, I believe if you love someone, you tell them the truth.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? You can't have a love in the middle of a lie. Mm-hmm. And I do call things to people's attention just like I do my own attention. You know, I don't want to live an unbridled life.
Well, you have a lot of people helping you call things to your attention.
Oh, I know. They straighten me up all the time. But, you know, I'm just thinking about that. And, you know, what if, you know, I mean, a lot of things you don't see on the surface. You know, what if I'm a horrible womanizer in my mind? You know, just have horrible thoughts about women. I'm not saying I do, folks. Don't pass that rumor out there. But I'm saying, what if that were the case? Isn't that something that I need to deal with, or I need to give to the Lord and not live in that way?
Oh, I think so, Steve. A person's never measuring up to the full potential that God wants for them in their life. As long as they have these tendencies.
What if I'm lazy?
These chains. Oh, yeah.
Don't want to work.
Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you.
What if I'm selfish, right? What if it's always me first and my wants? What if I treat my wife like a piece of dirt and just walk all over her? You know, there's so many things out there. You know, there's easy sins, right? That's a sin, that's a sin, that's a sin. No, they're all sins. And I think that we need to follow the Word of God and how God directs us through it. The Bible's not just a big storybook. The Bible is a manual for life.
Yes, it is.
And it's very funny, you know. Christians are called haters all the time. But we're not the ones that are out there wanting to dislodge 8 and 9 month old babies from a womb because somebody decided they didn't want it. Wow. I mean, where's the compassion in that? Do you realize if it was a baby seal, we'd be going to prison for it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, think about it, or
sure.
A puppy.
Or a puppy.
It just blows me away. And just so many of the other things. You know, if I see someone going down a path that's going to be a destructive lifestyle, I feel that because I care about them, I have an obligation to let them know. Well, Pastor, it's none of your business. You're judging them. No, I'm not judging anyone. The Word of God judges everyone. Mm-hmm. And I, as a pastor, I share the Word of God. And as Christians, we need to share it. Look, I'm warning you, there's a cliff on this road you're on, and you're going to go off of it. you know, what kind of person would I be if I didn't warn you about the road being out or the bridge being out when you're driving? It's the same thing. You know, what kind of person would I be if I didn't warn you that the lifestyle that you're on, the road you're on, is a dead end, that it ends with eternal separation from God? You know, what kind of person would I be? And yet, that's the kind of person that we're being encouraged to be. And even in so-called Christian circles, we're being told, just keep your mouth shut and keep peace. Seriously? Mm-hmm. Seriously? I think I know of a bunch of apostles that were martyred for their faith because they sat back and kept their mouth shut and made peace. No, they didn't. They warned everybody what was to come and said, look, this is a wonderful life you can have in Christ. You don't have to. You can have a new life, and here it is.
And they did that even under penalty of death. They knew what
and
was coming.
And they died. And not only did they die, but, whoo, boy, the way they died. And look what they did to Jesus. They hung him on a cross for telling the truth. Mm-hmm. So I will tell the truth till the day that I die. I will be corrected till the day I die. I will make mistakes till the day I die. I am not perfect. I am totally imperfect. And I lean on the grace of God to lift me up every day and take those wrongs in my life and make them right. I will let people down because that's what the natural man does. Mm-hmm. In my best times, I will lift people up. I will encourage people. I will love people. But I will fall down. And that will be that way until I meet my Savior face to face. And then the negative will be there no more. And that's what I have to look forward to. And that's the tomorrow that people need to be able to look forward to. So they stop giving up on life. They stop hating other people because of the situation they're in. And they realize, I can always be better. You know, instead of making excuses for why people are down and downtrodden and abused and not, how about showing examples of the people that came out of the situation they're in and how they rose above it, and what so many examples of what God has done in their life.
Oh, absolutely.
And those wonderful, wonderful examples. Quit making fun of Christians.
I remember the old testimonies from my great aunts, my great-grandfather, and from my father and my mother, mm-hmm. on how the Lord, the faith in God, lifted them out of the depths. And
it's funny. You mentioned that, Frank. I look at my generational family as I look back, and I never knew my grandfather on my father's side. He died shortly before I was born. And but I know a lot of the family history, and I look at it, and I look at, it's funny growing up in those families. You know, I didn't feel like we didn't have anything, or I didn't feel slighted or anything like that. And when I look at the humble beginnings of all of those people, and I see what God did in their lives, what God brought them through, that's the generation that went through the Depression. At least their parents did. Most of them, my parents would have been little wee ones coming out of the Depression. Are born shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. Depression was in 1928, right?
About 1922, 23.
22, 23, and, mm-hmm. and my parents were born in 10 years later. So their parents were in the thick of it. But I know my grandfather on my mother's side walked around Delaware, Ohio, carrying a great big wooden toolbox, doing any kind of work he could. He took any kind of work he could anywhere. A lot of it was grabbing the old CDM line, trolley line, and going to different towns and finding whatever he could. I mean, but when you met them later in life, you wouldn't know they'd had to do any of that. Because they were living the kind of lives that things were normal and settled. You know, they weren't sitting out on some stoop somewhere with a addiction problem, not feeding their family and saying, look what I had to go through. Mm-hmm. You know, they came through it, and character was built. We're not teaching character building. We're not teaching individualism. The stuff we call individualism is not individualism. Individualism is how God made us all individually different with wonderful characteristics to celebrate how he made us within the structures of how he said he made us and who he means us to be. It doesn't mean embracing sin and saying that makes you an individual. All that does is make you a sinful, hardened person that does not have any hope, not only on this earth, but in eternity. And if you look at the lives of those people, you'll see it. It always comes to the surface. Just look around you. When people live a sinful lifestyle, there is no good outcome. If you look at different groups of people and lifestyle communities, start looking up the rates of domestic violence amongst those people. Start looking up the rates of drug abuse, of suicide, of all those things. It always comes back to sinful acts and sinful lifestyle. Why is that? Because the Bible is clear. It doesn't work. So quit trying to embrace it and say, you know, that's just thumbing your nose at God. Look, if God can create this world, which I know that he did, and the evidence is so clear around us, I could sit here for a solid month talking about all the evidences of God that are just mind-boggling, that could not have come through evolution, couldn't have done. And any true scientist will admit that. I think it is so sad today that creation scientists are not given grants, they're kicked out of universities, they're not given a voice, they're not given anything, because they won't follow the status quo. And the status quo is not science. The status quo is to reject God. And if your science doesn't reject God, then to them, they don't want to hear it at all. And it's not because they believe in their heart what they're saying. It's because in their heart they have rejected God, and they will only entertain something that shows rejection of God. And people need to understand that. This is why we have all the rejection of God that we see in our schools and everywhere else in our university. It's been going on for a long time. And God doesn't honor it. And we're seeing it as our nation. Our nation's in trouble. We are Ronald Reagan. I loved it. I was in Rural King last week, and they had these shirts. I wanted to buy them all. And just give them to people to wear, because it had a statement on it that I often say that Ronald Reagan said. It says, if we ever stop being one nation under God, we will become a nation gone under.
Yes.
And it's such a true statement.
I remember that.
I remember him saying it. Yeah. I'm getting old here. But the point is, I remember that, and it's just so true. And we are becoming that nation gone under. You look at everything going on everywhere, and nobody really has that basic "I'm going to survive" mentality that made us great. You know that when we went into World War II, and everything that was going on, when young men intentionally, they didn't have to worry about a draft, they went.
Yes,
we're going to go defend this world against what's right and wrong. And we saw the same thing in Vietnam. A lot of guys just until they realized halfway through what was really going on over there, and the real anti-war movement got larger. Men were going there because they thought they were fighting for freedom for people in South Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And they did that. And we've had a lot of disillusioned situations. Look, either we're all in or we're all out when it comes to war. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree? Either we go to win or we don't go at all.
Sure.
And that's just the way that needs to be. And we don't need a nation build. I think we need to share our love and our faith and let people nation build themselves. And it's up to them.
Sure.
But,
you know, we've been, some of the topic that you've been talking about kind of seems hopeless. Where's our hope?
They don't have any, because God's out of the equation. Mm-hmm. God is our hope and our refuge. He always has been. Any society that has ever thrived has thrived because of God. And I'm trying to remember what foreign leader it was that said the reason that America will never be defeated is because of her faith in God, and God has his hand on him. And I can't remember who that was, but boy, did they hit the nail on the head. At the time. Now, wow. I mean, it's becoming difficult.
Yes, it is.
I have to say that, you know, I want to say something positive real quick here.
Okay.
I want to tell some of you parents out there that I know that your children, we have some wonderful young people out there. It's amazing to me, the young people I have that have been brought up in the same society as everyone else, that have opened their eyes to the truth of the God. And the common sense that I see in them, the hard work and the hard work ethic I see in some of these kids that are being very productive, and being the kind of kids that our parents wanted to be proud of kids, and I wanted to be proud of in my kids. These kids are still out there. We just have to direct them towards that hope. They're not a total blank slate.
No.
But there's a pretty blank slate out there. And what are we doing with them from the time that we have the responsibility of having them? Are we kicking them off to some room with a video game while we go do our own thing? Or are we doing the things that we should do with them? I've got a couple friends that, several friends, and people that I know in the church that they post a lot on social media, and when they do, they're posting pictures of hiking with their kids. And matter of fact, one lady stopped over the other day. They're getting ready to leave to go to New Mexico for a 2-week hike in the desert. I'm like,
really?
Are you people crazy this time of year? I said, you better stay hydrated. But they're gonna have a wonderful family time.
Sure.
And why not? But this other one family I know, they're hiking about somewhere about every weekend. And you know how much that costs?
Very little.
Nothing.
Just your gas.
Most of our state parks and whatnot, you can just go. And it doesn't cost anything to get there other than fuel and pack some sandwiches like we did in the old days.
Oh, absolutely.
And have a good time. Have a good family time. Just do those things. Get your kids in church, for crying out loud. I was so thrilled yesterday when I saw all the little kids coming for the Bible story hour that we had. And just listening to a solid message of truth and having someone care about them and read to them and show them they care and they love them. I'm going to tell you another story before
I'm glad to see how many parents showed up.
I don't know who he was the other night. But one of my grandsons was playing one of the Marion City kids leagues in baseball. We're talking about 7-year-olds, that group. And after the game, I was sitting there in the bleachers, and our kids had huddled up over where they were, and right in front of me was the coach from Marion, and he kneeled down with all of his kids, and he was being firm. He was making them listen. One little boy was stepping away, not paying attention. He said, "Will you get over here and quit acting like you're not part of us?" But I got a kick out of it, because here's a guy taking his time, and I was listening to him. He was encouraging these kids, telling them, how they could focus on the things that they needed to make themselves better at, what they could do to be better. And he didn't mention anything. He just said, think about what you did and what you can do next time that would be better. And he was just trying to, when there's that kind of mentoring going on out there, my heart was warmed by this man and what he was doing. And it's not that hard. And we need to think more of that. Get your head out of yourself. Get yourself... Get off the bar stool. That's the first one for a lot of people. Get off the bar stool. Get out of the clubs. Quit worrying about how hot you look so that you can have a new boyfriend. Look, if you got kids, the day that you're born, they're born. They are your responsibility. If you don't have kids, well, I guess they're not. But the point is, when you have children, they are your responsibility. And you can either, in 20 years, you can either be just thrilled at the young person they become, or you can say, oh my word, what did I do? And they can be a burden on you the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Or you can be a burden on them, and you don't have to be. So I encourage everyone out there to get back to basics. Think about what we're doing and where we're going. I appreciate Frank being here today. My buddy Frank, I just smacked him in the ear.
Hearing aid.
I smacked him in his hearing aid. That's not good. Hey, God bless you guys. Come and see us at Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Sunday morning, you can come at 9:30. We have a Bible school hour. 10:30 is our normal worship time. We have midweek service. We have so many things going on. We have a Sunday night Bible studies. We have midweek Bible studies. A lot of things going on throughout the year. And we're getting ready to start some focused groups. We're going to have a divorce recovery group. We are going to have of course, we'll be doing Celebrate Recovery, and of course, we will also have a grandparents group for those on the second time around raising kids, and some other things, too. Mm-hmm. So, God bless you guys. We love you, and we're out of here. Frank?
Just be good.
Be good.
Be good.
Thank you, Frank and Pastor Steve. The Pastor Spot. Thank you, Frank and Pastor Steve, right here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.